the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight deceit.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, etc. It's not unusual to see studies cited, sometimes very vaguely, but cited nonetheless, that assert that children who are raised by same-sex parents, two women, two men, and not here, this kind of situation where maybe it's just all in the family kind of a thing, but we're talking here about homosexual parents. Let's be very clear. Children raised by same-sex parents do great. Good grades. They turn out well-adjusted, model citizens. So how is it that there are other studies that come out, like a recent study showing that children under same-sex parents don't fare as well, have more depression, more tendency toward suicide, report more abuse both in the home, violence thereafter? What's the difference between the two? Joining us to talk about a new study on the children of same-sex parents on this Friday afternoon, July the 8th, D.C. McAllister. She's a journalist in Charlotte, North Carolina, senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled, Another Study Finds Same-Sex Parents Isn't Best for Kids. D.C., welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me.
What's unique about this latest study of the children of same-sex parents?
Unlike many studies that are rather biased because they pick out a non-random group of people who already have a propensity to get the results that the researchers want, this is a long-term study. It started actually in 1995 and followed study participants over the years. So they started and looked at study participants at age 15 and then at age 22, and then at age 28 was the terminating time. So it's a very long term. Even though it's a small sample, it's over many years.
Those kind of studies are very valuable because they continue to deal with the same subjects and they continue to consistently measure the same things. So this, they call it a longitudinal study. This is probably a lot deeper than most of the other studies that have found differently on the subject, isn't it?
Absolutely, because there are so many studies out there that are biased. And, you know, like they'll even go into places and say, if you have a good relationship with your family or you want to participate in this study to show these kind of things that are going on with same-sex parenting, then they get those kind of volunteers. And it's just a short-term, maybe question and answer kind of studies. And those don't have the depth that this study has.
So the other thing this study does, before we get into particulars that you point out, is it also does deal with those other studies. It does explain why its findings vary from other studies about same-sex parents.
Yes, it does. It cites other studies, it compares them, and shows the differences, and admits the weaknesses even of this study, of the small sample size, and there can be many factors associated with the interpretation, but it does show trends. It shows a broad range of things from depression, obesity, perception on violence in the home, and these kind of things. So it's a lot of different issues over a long period of time.
Let's talk about depression and abuse. What did the study find of children of same-sex parents?
It found that while same-sex children do fine at a younger age and sometimes even show a little bit better, just it depends on the individual as far as depression goes. There's not much difference. But over time, late-onset depression goes up by many, many percentage points for children of same-sex couples. So it shows an increase of depression, an increase of obesity, and these kind of things. There was an increase when they're older. There was a significant decrease for children of heterosexual parents.
Some of it's disturbing. These are children of same-sex parents who are reporting violence in the home.
Yes, or different kinds of just not feeling safe or inappropriate sexual touching. And again, small sample size, so we want to put that out there, but it was more than the heterosexual grouping.
So what kind of conclusions can we draw from this, not just contrasting same-sex parenting with opposite-sex parenting, but what kind of other conclusions can we draw there, that one is better than the other? What else?
Well, I also want to say that there have been other studies that support this study as far as many of the same kind of findings as far as depression goes, reports of violence in the home or sexual inappropriateness or confusion, that kind of thing has also been supported by other studies. What we can learn from this is that this coupled also with really large studies over many years that show that a biological family, an intact family with a biological mom and dad is the best state for children. This has been proven time and time again through large studies. The criticism same-sex couples have of those studies is many of them are not done, including in opposition to same-sex couples and their families, mainly because the sample size is so small and that hasn't been around for very many years. But what we do have is we have many studies that show that heterosexual couples, opposite sex couples are better for children, and we have bias studies that show that there's no difference. And now we have a study here that shows that there's questions that need to go into our study and research of this because we're seeing trends that are not good for children of same-sex parents.
You want to emphasize the fact that the advocates of same-sex parenting, they're talking about a parenting situation that intentionally leaves at least one of the biological parents out of the child's life. Why is that so important?
Yes, this was a major part of my article. And I mentioned the study and I talk about the studies, but really you can get into a kind of study war with people. I've got my study and you've got your study, and you have to use some common sense when you look at this. That's one point. But also, I wanted to make a distinction between same-sex parenting as well as single surrogacy, and sperm donors can also be included in this. But specifically for same-sex parenting, because they intentionally and purposely bring a child into this world, saying that they cannot and forbidding them from actually knowing and having a relationship with their other parent. And this is different from divorce situations. It's very different from adoption situations that are often born of just tragic circumstances where people are forced to give up their children. And also many adoptions are open adoptions now where children do have the opportunity to know the biological parent, because it has been recognized over the years that that children do need to know their biological parents. But in this case, we have a man and a man or a woman and woman saying, I'm going to bring a child into this world, and I forbid them from ever having a relationship or even knowing the other parent. It's intentional, and I think that this is something that sets this apart from the other kind of situations. And it's being done through surrogacy, of course, and through sperm donor. So there's a difference between adoption and other situations that I want to make perfectly clear.
The message, you say, being sent to everyone, but especially to the children of the same-sex parents, is that your mother or your father or maybe even both are not necessary.
Are completely unnecessary. And they're told to put those feelings that they have aside and accept this man as your mother or this woman as your father. And the children are often silenced. I mean, we have testimony of children from same-sex couples who just had to suffer in silence because they weren't allowed to speak. They weren't allowed to express their need and their desire to know their biological parent and that how hard that was for them. It wasn't just, a lot of people say, a lot of these kids may be depressed or struggle because of social stigma attached to them being raised by a same-sex couple. But by their own report, they say, no, they've actually been silenced by the same-sex partners and by that situation so that they're not able to emote freely about what their real needs are and desires. And a lot of times children who are still in the home are interviewed and they report that, I love my situation, it's great. But many children are going to say that. Even in divorce situations, children say, I love my step-parent or everything's great, everything's perfect, because they don't want to offend the adults in their lives. But when you talk to older children of same-sex couples, you often get them saying that they've had these struggles. And when you read testimonies of people who have been the children of sperm donors and surrogacy, it's heartbreaking. Because it's natural and it's organic and it's a spiritual need we have to be connected to the people who made us and not the people who bought us.
you call it a fundamental right to self-knowledge. Explain that.
It is. I mean, we are born into this world not as autonomous creatures. I didn't just drop out of the ether. I came in and you came in. Every single one of us were created into a family structure, born to a man and a woman. We have our identity, or biologically, spiritually, emotionally, is tied up in knowing and having a relationship with our origins. And that, in knowing that and having a connection with that, and a healthy connection especially, helps form our identity and sense of our own self, so that we are who we are by nature, not by how someone has told us to be or contrived a construct or a social construct telling us that we need to conform to it. We are born in this world knowing who we are. There are so many stories, and when you talk to these people who don't know their biological parent, what do you hear from them? But, you know, did I have the same eyes as them? Did they laugh the way I did? You know, do they, you know, have the same intelligence? We even have ancestry.com. I mean, we have an instinctive need to know where we come from. And this just rips that apart. It says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you came from. You don't need to have that sense of self. We will show you what your identity is. We, the adults, because we want our desires met, not what's best for you. We will tell you how to feel. We will tell you who you are. We will give you your sense of self. And that, to me, causes a disruption in individuals and is not good for them, and it's not good for society.
Did we need studies to tell us this?
This is my frustration. I mean, we have the studies. We talk about these studies. I cited the studies. But I do it through gritted teeth a little bit, because to me, I think we have thrown out common sense and demanding studies because we have rejected objective truth. I mean, to me, this is a core thing. We've rejected natural law. We've rejected objective truth. We've rejected senses of right and wrong. And we're getting into this quagmire of just prove it to me. Prove it to me through a study to tell me and to affirm what I subjectively want. And to me, that's very dangerous, because then we're defined by other people and not by what's true and what's objective.
You end your article with a particular story. You say that kind of haunts you with respect to the issue of same-sex parenting. What is it?
There's an organization, it's a website called Anonymous Us, and it has many, many gathering testimonies of people who were raised by sperm donors. They're donor kids, or what they're called. And these are the kids who have been purposely denied a relationship with their other parent. They can't ever know. They don't know who their father is or who their mother is walking around. And also, they don't know who their other siblings might be walking around in the world. It's a very disconnected and disconcerting feeling for these children. And this one girl who was raised by a lesbian couple, you know, confesses, it's hard for me to talk about this and my feelings to my moms because, you know, quote unquote, because, you know, I don't want to crush them because they do love me. But I have real needs. You know, this girl says, you know, I'll never know what it's like to be with my father. You know, I'll never know what it's like to bring a boy home and have him threaten him. You know, I'll never know what it's like to wake up on Father's Day morning to anything other than my mom saying we should send a photo to some family to celebrate, only to have me say there's no father to send this photo to. You know, nothing for me. I can't celebrate Father's Day. When I walk down the aisle, I'm not going to have a father on my arm. You know, these kind of things that children instinctively and naturally want, she had taken from her. And she has a wound in her that will never fully heal.
Finally, then, you point out the double standard at play here. How would you explain it?
Well, we have a legal system and family law that is very concerned about the best interest of children. And even in divorce, parents aren't just allowed to leave. You know, they have to be financially or physically responsible for children. We can't have child abandonment in this country, because we recognize that parents are responsible for their children, and children also need their parents. They need their parents in their life. The family law works very hard to make sure that both parents are involved in a child's life, even in situations of divorce. And also, like I mentioned in adoption, we now have a growing trend of having open adoption, because we recognize children need their biological parents in their life. And so we have this legal standard of requiring parents to be responsible, because we recognize this need. But when it comes to same-sex parenting, we suddenly say that none of that matters. The best interest of the child doesn't matter. You know, they don't have a right to know their biological parent. It doesn't matter. All that matters now is just the desires of these two adults who want to create a family unit through socially contrived means. That's what's most important on that level, and so not the best interest of the children. So here we have LGBT rights and, quote-unquote, being prioritized over children's rights. And I think that's a very bad trend policy-wise and legally in our country, especially socially.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds, these superior studies are going to pile up, but do you think they're going to change anything?
Not as long as the agenda and the propaganda is to promote same-sex agendas and gender neutrality and gender ideology. As long as that's promoted, what is objectively true is going to be rejected, whether it's common sense, whether it's studies, whether it's even the testimony from these children themselves. It's going to be rejected for an agenda, and the propaganda will rule the day. And that's my concern, and people are going to be hurt, and as a society, we will be lesser for it.
D.C. McAllister is a journalist in Charlotte, North Carolina, and senior contributor to The Federalist. She's authored a recent column there titled, Another Study Finds Same-Sex Parenting Isn't Best for Kids. Read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. D.C., thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we come back, Holly Shearer is going to join us. We're going to be talking about a new policy. You've heard about it. The Pentagon decided that transgendered people should not only openly serve in the U.S. military, but also be accommodated in every way. We're going to find out what that means. And how do you wrap your head around this idea if you're used to thinking of things in terms of male and female, the natural, logical, rational way of thinking about people and their gender? How do you overcome the confusion of transgenderism? We'll be right back.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.